I have been so blessed to be here this weekend.
Amen.
And I don't know, sometimes there just isn't words, you know, to express what's on our hearts. But Father, I am so grateful to know that you have placed us in these temples. And Lord, that the glory and the essence and the magnificence of all that you are is now bursting forth from our innermost being. How could words ever express the love that you have placed within us? Not only for that which we have not seen, but for that part of you that we do see in each other. How grateful we are for that love that far surpasses any human understanding. We're so grateful, Father. And again, words are so inadequate, but our hearts are so full of appreciation and love for all that you have accomplished in our being. And we thank you for that. I think one of the things I'm so, more than anything, grateful for is the unity that I see coming forth. How that God has taught us that all men are valuable. And so often those words, when I look out from these physical eyes at different people that I contact, so many times I'm reminded of what Paul said, that we see no man after the flesh. You know, and at first that was one of the most difficult things that I could do, because when I'd look out over, you know, different ones, Christians or non-Christians or people that were doing things that I thought was so contrary to me and my nature, it was so hard to see beyond that. But you know, today, it's not a problem at all for me. Because I have such an awareness of God's presence. And I know that's locked up in each of us. And it doesn't matter. I say this so much, but it does not matter what you are doing. Because what you are doing cannot ever possibly change who you are. And because there's a people on the earth today like us assembled in this room, we know the truth of your being. And so it's so easy for us to look beyond that fleshy thing that we see and know that no matter what you are doing, no matter what that is, whether you're what the world would consider the scum of the earth or a king on a throne, there is a essence of your being that is so pure and so holy and so righteous that we can see beyond that flesh. And the more we see beyond that flesh, the more we can cause resurrection life to spring forth in those we meet. Just think of it. The ability to resurrect someone from the tomb of their humanity. There's no greater tomb in all this earth than those who are encased in the tomb of human thinking, especially the religious mind. The religious mind is one of the hardest prisons in the world to break. Because it's like I shared last night, you know, how can we possibly change that which we believe without a miracle? I talked to so many people and for so many years it seemed like there's no success. I mean, I'd do everything. I'd give people books. I'm talking about years ago, you know, before I was ever in any kind of ministry. I discovered this most wonderful life. And so sometimes I would find a book that was so, helped me, you know, so much. And I would buy cases of books One of them was I was sharing with George and Carolyn when I first read In His Presence by E.W. Kenyon. That single book brought great change to my life. And I bought cases of those and carried them in my trunk, and I gave them out for months and months, probably even 2 or 3 years. I never had one person come back to me and say that book was a blessing. Most of them would say, I don't understand what this man is talking about. It's the hardest thing in the world to break through that religious mentality. And I guess that's why I'm so overwhelmed today, because since about 1998, I was sharing with George this morning, the first time I spoke in a conference was in Eugene, Oregon. It wasn't even a Kingdom conference. It was a Pentecostal conference. And after I spoke at that conference, Elaine Cook was there, and she came up to me and she said, "You're one of us." And I didn't even know what she meant. I'd never heard of Preston Eby. I'd never heard of any of these men that we know today, Stacy Wood. And so she began to share with me these, you know, she said, there are a lot of men, you know, out there teaching this message. And so then in 1998, there was and I'm sure all of you have heard of that, there was a conference in Alamogordo, New Mexico, Alwin Roach put on. And in this conference, there was Preston Eby, Stacy Wood, Larry and Betty Hodges, I mean, just everybody. All of the so-called Kingdom ministries were going to be gathered at this conference. And so when I found this out, I said, I got to go, you know, because I could not believe there was such a people on the earth that had this understanding that God loved everybody. So I'll never forget it. I went to that conference, and from Friday till Sunday, on Sunday morning, they asked Preston Eby to speak. And after he spoke, Alwin Roach said, you know, we have someone here among us. And I'll tell you, at that time, nobody knew who I was. But Alwin had talked to me on the phone, and he said, we have Gary Sigler with us. And at that time, I had just started the website on Kingdom Resources. And he said, we'd like to have Gary come up and share with us. And this was right after Preston Eby spoke, and for a moment, you know, the fear flashed through my mind, because I wasn't a public speaker. I'll never forget this. He called me up there, and the only thing I could do before that crowd is tell him how much I love God and love people. And when we left that conference, the next year, I shipped 50,000 books to over 70 countries of the world. Stacy Wood was in that meeting, and after I spoke, Stacy he'd never met me, I'd never met him. He come up to me after that meeting, and he prophesied to me exactly what I'm doing today. He told me, he said, you are going to reach people all over the world. And today, so again, it's so overwhelming, because today I don't have a problem sharing this message. People all over the world, that's what they want to hear, is how much they are loved and how much God loves them, and how God is not holding anything against anyone. God has never seen anyone any less than perfect in His eyes. Oh, that's hard to hear at first. And even today, many among us are still looking at ourselves as though we're something less than what we really are. And if I could just encourage everyone to really know, and I know it takes a revelation from God, but God has nothing but good to give to any of us. I've been saying for a couple of years now, God will only do two things for you, only two. He will love you and He will bless you. He won't do anything else. He'll just love you and He'll bless you. And if I could tell you some of the experiences that I've had learning this love of God. Sometimes when I fall into what I, at the time, I considered some of my worst sins, that, you know, sometimes I don't know if any of you here have ever had such a strong pull on the flesh. But, you know, I love God, and I'd say, God, I ain't never going to do this again. And I'd go along pretty good for a while, and then all of a sudden the urge would come. And I'd try to fight it. And I'd say, God, I need your help. I can't. And the urge would get stronger, and it would get stronger, and it would get stronger, and then I'd give in to it. And I'd feel so bad because I did it again. And it was at those times that God would come to me and tell me how much He loved me and remind me the fact that He saw me in the book of Revelation and that He would never give up on me, that His love was unfailing towards me. And that one day, He said, one day, you will fully manifest my glory. And this is before I ever could overcome anything, God would begin to speak to me this way. And then I realized that I wasn't special in God's eyes. That He was dealing with everyone in their own way. Until eventually He would bring everyone into that place where they could manifest and magnify Him in these temples. Somebody asked me this morning what I thought about the teaching on the elect. I'll tell you, I believe in the teaching of the elect. But everyone is the elect. God never has a special group of people that He's dealing with while the rest, you know, wait by the wayside. And the reason the teaching of the elect has been so predominant is because it's been misunderstood. All of us are the elect, but God has different, I don't know what word to use, I don't like the word position, but he has different areas, different ministries, different things for us to do. And I mentioned, I think it was yesterday or the day before, about how I had studied the rapture teaching. And I saw that God likens the natural things to the spiritual. And you know, when you plant a garden, you'll always have what we call the first fruits come forth first. They're not special and they're not elect. Some just come into maturity first. Well, that's what I would call the pre-tribulation rapture, not in the sense of being jerked off the earth, but there's a first fruits people today that God has been preparing since our birth that are beginning to manifest the love and the glory of God. And they're no better and no different than anyone else. It's just the fact that by the mercy of God that we're coming into this understanding. And so the more we share this message, there's not going to be any first fruits. There's going to be a great harvest that come into this understanding, that love God with all their hearts. Then they're going to be raptured in their consciousness and understanding to where they too can minister from the realms of glory and minister from heaven to earth rather than from earth to heaven. And then comes what we call the gleanings, where eventually everyone, without exception, we will be brought into the glory and the manifested presence of God. There is no special people on this earth. Someone mentioned this weekend, I don't know if it was in the meeting, about vessels of dishonor. And you know, when I first started studying that passage, I couldn't quite understand it. I thought, well, God, how could you make some vessels for dishonor? But yet, when I really realized the heart and the plan of God, I realized that even the vessels of dishonor had their own glory. And then in my mind, I kind of ran a play. And I thought, now I'm not telling you this is truth, but this is just the way I think. And so one day I was thinking of this being in the realms of glory, and I was thinking how God was beginning to plan this thing out about how we were going to come to earth and what was going to happen and how we were going to bring it all together. And I could hear God say, I need somebody. I need a vessel of dishonor. I need somebody to play that role that would deny and crucify the Lord. And then I heard Judas step up and say, Father, I'm willing to go and take all the shame. I'm willing to go and do whatever is necessary so that Jesus can be revealed in all the glory that He is. I'm willing to do anything. And that's how I began to, you know, I began to picture that all of us are special in God's eyes. Even those of us who come here to do things that are considered dishonorable. I'll tell you, God has not wasted one human being Now, many of us, well, all of us, when we came here, we didn't know what we were supposed to do. And many get lost and never find their way in this life. Many never find their purpose for why they were here. But that makes them no less honorable than anybody else because they were willing. They were willing to leave that place and to come here. So God has given us such a value of humanity that we never had before. And then I remember one day as I was, you know, I was studying the church and the body of Christ, and I always had the concept, you know, that only the Christians were the body of Christ. Everybody else was outside. And then I read Ephesians chapter 2. As I was reading that, Paul said, "Ye," talking to the Gentiles, he said, "you were one time without hope and without Christ in the world. But now, in Christ, the two, the Jew and the Gentile," well, see, in the minds of the Christians in those days, or the Jews in those days, the Jews were God's people and the Gentiles were the dogs. They were the unbelievers. They were the ones separated from God's presence. But Paul said through Christ, through that one man, he had taken both the Jew, the saved, and the Gentile, the lost. And through the cross, he had produced one new man. And when I really saw the intent of the heart of God in that, I saw that all men on this earth were a part of that body of Christ because we all came here and took on this physical form. So it's been things like this that God has revealed to me to give me such an appreciation and a value of all people, and has enabled us to see beyond the flesh. And so I just encourage everybody, please stop looking at people, but it's basically thinking somebody is less than what you are. Don't think because somebody believes in reincarnation, or somebody doesn't believe in the virgin birth, or somebody, you know, it doesn't matter. All of these things doesn't matter. What if reincarnation is true?
Right.
What if it isn't true? What makes the difference? You see, we major on the minors. We're so concerned over what somebody else believes. We are so pastors, and it's out of a good heart. Pastors, and they're so concerned that their people are going to hear some untruth, that they cut their people off from truth because they're afraid that what they hear isn't right. And I'll tell you, sometimes when I get alone with the Lord, and I so intercede for, because if we don't somehow bring the, we have the, some of the greatest ministries on earth today that believe pretty much similarly the way we all believe, but they're still divisive. Believe in reconciliation with all their heart, but they can't be reconciled to their brothers today because their brothers don't believe like they do. Tell you what, it just breaks my heart, because if they only knew, if they only knew what God would do in them if they would open their arms and accept everyone just the way they are. I've had people tell me, "Gary, I love you so much. I'll always love you. But I can't stand you bringing New Age concepts into the kingdom movement. And I can't minister. I can't stand on the platform with you anymore because of what you're doing." I'll tell you what. It's the kind of stuff that's got to stop. Because if it doesn't, all we are is another denominational sect. You tell me that God doesn't listen to a Baptist when he prays, or he doesn't listen to a Hindu that's crying out to him, you know? I know this is going to stop. I just wish it would hurry up. You know, I with all my heart, I love these men. And some of them have been teaching reconciliation for 30 and 40 years. And they don't understand what they're saying. All they believe is that someday God's going to reconcile everybody. But what about today? What are you doing today to bring reconciliation to someone you're in disagreement with? I often tell people, you know, you don't have to believe what I say. Nobody. You know what? It doesn't bother me if somebody disagrees with what I say. But why would you publicly, before the whole world, say, I can't stand alongside that brother because he doesn't believe the way I do? It's got to stop. Because until it stops, we'll never bring the oneness and the unity to this world that is in the heart of God. And, you know, maybe I'm just too much of a visionary, but I believe it's got to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. God is going to break through these barriers of intellectual belief systems. And, you know, there is nothing that would stop me from standing alongside of anyone. You could tell that by my website. I've taken more persecution over my website than anything I've ever done. Because I allow all kinds of different ministries to share their belief systems on my website. One day a kingdom minister was at my house and he said to me, Gary, you got some people on that website that shouldn't be there. He said, this is part of the reason that the kingdom ministers are turning away from you because you've got New Age people on your website. And he said, if you would just clean that thing up, he said, you'd have a much greater effect on this world. And I said to this brother, and I was so thankful he brought that up at that time, because this is what I said to him. I said, brother, if I would take everybody off of my website that somebody thought was New Age or they shouldn't be on there, I said, you would be one of the first ones I'd have to take off. And that was the truth, because I just had a lot of complaints about an article he wrote that was, people thought it was terrible. But that's why I stress so much, you know, what you believe. Why do I care? Now, again, I understand why these ministers care, because they have the concept that they have to protect what their people hear. But what they don't understand is they're taking the place of the Holy Spirit in their listeners' lives. And another thing they're fearful of, that if my people get to listening to you too much, I might lose some of my finances. Because people always support those who are feeding them. And so I'm feeding my people, and I don't want them feeding somewhere else. When I first started pastoring a church in Oregon, I had about 40 people. And I'd been with them some time. You know, I don't know how long, but some time I'd been with them. And there was a big church downtown, you know, a couple thousand members. And they were having, T.L. Osborne come to their church for a conference. And so I told my small group, I said, next weekend we're not going to have church here. I want everybody to go down here to this big church and hear T.L. Osborne. And I can't tell you how many people cautioned me and said, you don't want to do that, because you get your people down there in that church, that's a dynamic church. That man is one of the best preachers in the country. And you might lose some of your people if you do that. And thank God by that time I had enough sense to know better. And so I said, well, you know what? If they can be better taken care of down there, that's quite all right with me. So we did that. We didn't lose one person. But during that weekend, I met several people that went to that church and got in conversation with them. And there was probably about 4 people from that group that came to our group. So we just got to stop all of it. You know, that's fear too. Fear of your people being deceived. Either God is leading people by the Spirit or He isn't. And if you think that you are, you better go back to school. And I know this is the greatest fear right now among all the kingdom ministries out there, is their fear. They've got to protect their people from being deceived. We can't let none of this New Age thinking come into our group, because that's the great deception. That's an angel of light. It's a doctrine of demon. It's all of these things. In fact, I won't tell you what one of the ministers said about me and Des, but they just believe it's deception. They believe it's the I don't know whether they think it's the two witnesses of destruction or what that's come to the kingdom church. But I'll tell you, I guarantee you, Des has said some things when I first heard him that took me aback. And I thought, one of the things Des said, I heard him saying it, I just shocked me to the core. I think it was one of the first times I heard him speak. And you know, he just drops things and he don't always explain what he's saying.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, really. So he's talking all of a sudden. He said, folks, you just got to give up on this man, Jesus. And I'll tell you what, I was just shocked. I thought, what in the world? So when I go home, I'm saying, God, what is this man saying? You got to give up Jesus. I said, all my life, that has been my goal, to be like him. Why would I want to give him up? And as sure as I ever heard the Lord, he said, you already have. And then I knew what he meant. That concept. You know, that the concept that most Christians have made of Jesus, it's just an idol. Just someone they worship, like our brother so wonderfully said, believe in him, but don't do what he said. Believe in him, but don't believe what he said. And we worship him as an icon, and we put him in a manger at Christmas time, and we raise him, you know, we crucify him at Good Friday, and we raise him on Easter Sunday, and we do that year after year after year. We put him in a cradle, and then we put him in a tomb, and then we resurrect him, and we worship him, we idolize him, which we all should. That's the Jesus we have to give up. We have to realize that same spirit, the same essence of who he was, we are. And he's not to be worshipped apart from the fact that every one of us, and I'm not saying we shouldn't worship him, my God, the greatest man that ever lived. But I'll tell you what, if he was here, he would tell you not to worship him. I guarantee he would tell you that. I guarantee you, if Jesus appeared in our midst, he'd say, don't worship me. Worship the Father. So unity is one of the great burdens of, and I don't like to use the word burden because it's not really a burden, but I just so long, as I used to long to know God experientially, I now long for all of God's creation to experience the beauty of being one with God. And I know I don't experience that to the full degree, but what a blessing it is to walk and to know that there's nothing beyond the grave that you have to look forward to. That anything that you possibly desire is available to you now. There's been a lot of teaching about the day of the Lord and the coming fearful judgment and all of this stuff. Yet, John on the Isle of Patmos 2,000 years ago, he experienced the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is an eternal day. And anyone at any moment can enter into the day of the Lord and experience that glorious presence and begin to see things from a broader perspective. I don't know, I'm sure most of you heard this, but Preston Eby gave a wonderful illustration of this one time. He said, eternity is like a progression, it's like a beginning, a middle, and an end. And he said, and he used the illustration of a parade. He said, if you're watching a parade, he said, you get your little chair out and you go down and set it on the sidewalk, and here comes the parade. And as it goes past you, you lose sight of the beginning, and you only see what's in front of you, and you can't see what's coming. But he said, if you just take your chair and you go up about 10 stories, and look out a window, you'll be able to see the beginning of the parade, and you'll be able to see the end of the parade. And he said, that is eternity. You see, and that's what John saw on the Isle of Patmos. He entered into eternity, and he began to express and to see all of these wonderful things. I'll tell you, folks, every one of us can do that. Every one of us can enter into that place that John entered into. You know, when it says John entered into the Spirit on the Lord's Day, I thought it was Sunday.
always thought in my head.
But the day of the Lord is an eternal, everlasting day. And the more we can enter into that day of the Lord, we begin to see some of these things from such a broader perspective. And realize someone today who is a child molester, tomorrow may be a shining example of the kingdom of God. That's another thing I prayed for years. I used to say, God, I want to have eyes to see as you have. And I'll tell you, when you're able to see beyond that fleshy thing that you're looking at, and of course we don't, you know, we never accept the situation, but we accept the person. It's like I said earlier, nobody should feel obligated to accept what I say, but you are all obligated to accept who I am. And that is the concept that has to come to those on the earth today. And I know, as sure as I know anything, that these concepts are going to fall. We have, in the kingdom circles, we have years of wonderful, wonderful ministry. But to see it begin to splinter off into fractions and there's nothing wrong with many, many groups, but if we could just all stand together, not in doctrine, but in the unity of the Spirit. You'll never have a unity of doctrine. The only way all of us will ever see eye to eye, and the Scriptures do talk about it, there coming a day when we'll all see eye to eye, but that'll never happen until we all reach the full stature of the Son of God. And then we'll all see eye to eye. But right now, that's not important. What is important is our appreciation of one another right where we are in this present situation, no matter what it is. To be able to have arms outstretched. Oh, I've told you so often, I hear Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And those words out of his lips encompassed all of creation, all who ever come here, all who have ever been here. I can hear him say, all of creation, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I know. And see, that's why I can be hurt, but it's impossible for me to feel resentment. It's impossible for me to feel bitterness. Because I know, as Jesus knew, the only reason anyone would ever come against me in a critical way is because they don't understand. Because when you understand the love of God, you do not stand in judgment against anyone. So thank God for the presence and the essence of his being that he's placed in us today. It's the most wonderful place. We are the most blessed people. Oh, I'll tell you, years and years ago. See, I've had this message since about, I think it was 1970, maybe even 69, when God said to me, I saw you in the book of Revelation, and began to open my eyes to the value of the whole world in 1970, and it wasn't until about 1996 or 7 that I knew that all of these other ministries were out there. So all of those years, I was alone trying to find some. I'll tell you what, I was so lonely, and I would try so hard to share with people this wonderful life, and nobody could hear it. So today, you know, that's why my heart is so full of gratitude, because God has raised up a people who have ears to hear. Isn't that wonderful? This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434, for information concerning her music.
On this earth.